Now, issues come between Christians. Sometimes Christians have problems among themselves, between themselves. That shouldn't be, but that is. In other words, that's the reality. The Almighty God expects us to grow and develop to the extent that there will be peace among us as God's people. But if and when issues arise, among the things we must not bring to the issues is, don't lie. Don't exaggerate to make the person with whom you have the issue look bad. What you must do is present the facts. If and when I drive too close to Brother Norman's vehicle and scratch it, I must not go telling that, you know, in a midline road in park, when the parking has nothing to do what caused me, just my bad driving. So because we are dealing with God, we must make sure that we come above board. Because I will not look better in God's sight when I lie to make that brother or sister look bad. I will not look better in God's sight. Not only that, I will only be perpetuating or extending the problem. When I approach any problem in a truthful, honest, above board way, then God gets involved in helping us to solve it. So, don't misrepresent the person with whom you have some misunderstanding or issue, that brother or sister or even the stranger. Relate the issue truthfully and honestly, so that when you are brought before the person, it's the same thing you are going to say. A lot of time, there are so many things that sometimes we forget that we are dealing with God. I have pointed out here that take the situation where in two Christians, wife and husband, there may come a point at which one party in that marriage decided that he or she wants a divorce. But Brother Mitchell, Christian must not divorce. You are right. But sometimes you have that happen, eh? The Bible gives fornication as the biblical reason. Here is what a lot of people miss. Where fornication is used not as the cause for the divorce, but as an excuse for the divorce. Those are two different things. That's right. In other words, husbands sometimes will encourage the fornication, or the wife will encourage it. because they want a divorce. Might be husband want to get rid of his wife, or the wife want to get rid of her husband. And they are coming to church, where when they will state to church or church leader that this is the cause for the divorce, when before God it's not the cause. They were glad the fornication took place to use it as an excuse. You see, we don't get technical with God and get where you know. Are we all there? And this is why we must make sure we come to God clean. Jesus Christ and the scripture, the gospel, deals with issue among his people. Let me turn to the passage which so many of us know. Just a point there. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. I'm going to ask one of you to read it for me, but hold it for me. Hold the passage. One of the main reason for my wanting to come to this lesson or discuss it tonight is where you must be mindful that Jesus Christ deal with all issue, but the one under consideration, Jesus Christ deal with issue of this sort in a balanced way. Look now, as Christ deal with issue and conflict in what I term balancedly. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through about verse 17. Let us hear the passage. Read aloud. Moreover, if thy brother sin against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him. You know, every time you take up the Bible, it tells you that this is a great book. Truly. Because it's wonderful when you can go to the person who you think offend you and talk with the person, if that is possible. Uh-huh. Go and talk to him. Uh-huh.
If he hears you, mm-hmm.
That's right. If both of you discuss the problem and come to an understanding, you have gained your brother. Mm-hmm. Watch. Mm-hmm.
But if he will not hear you,
uh-huh.
Take with you one or two more.
What I imagine most of us here realize that this is telling us how to deal with issue in the church. So if he did not hear you,
take one or two
more.
That by the mouth of two or three witnesses,
uh-huh.
Every word may be established.
That's right. You see, the idea I'm getting here from Christ, the person might be contrary. Huh? The person that you have the issue with might be contrary. Of course, you can be contrary too. But from what Christ is saying here, it's like he's dealing with the fact that you or I feel that somebody has done us wrong. We go to talk to the person doesn't want to acknowledge. So Christ said, take it to another step. Take how many?
Or three
You know, I almost said 1 or 2. But Christ said 2 or 3. 2 or 3 more.
And if he refused to hear them,
that's right.
Tell it to the church.
Now that's the final court of appeal. It is still within the church, but it's not the 2 of you anymore. You tell it now to the church. The church is brought in, and that doesn't mean the whole congregation. Are we all there? Because you bring in the entire congregation, and that will even make the thing more messy and confusing. You see, you will be selective in people that you think have the knowledge of God's word, and they have the impartial attitude and the objectivity to deal with it. Tell it to the church.
But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax
collector. Watch here now. One of the reasons I did it is the fact that Christ gives us a cutoff point. That is, if you are dealing with a brother or sister that is just unreasonable or contrary, there is a point at which you or I can decide that I have had enough. Are we all there? And that is stated right here by Jesus Christ. There will be more vexation and frustration if you just keep following it up. Sometimes a person may tell you, well, you mustn't stop, you must be patient, you must be loving. Yes, be loving. Yes, be forgiving. Yes, be patient. But there is a cutoff point. And you see, The point where people always show in love, like, and even then, many times we must remember that agape love is a rational love. It's not just an emotional thing. So here is a situation that Jesus Christ said, when you reach the point, when that brother or sister feel that they are bigger than the church, they don't want to listen to reason, those who are involved are as honest, as objective, and as Christ-like as they can, the person doesn't want to listen. Jesus Christ did not encourage us, just continue with him or her. Let him be to thee like a Gentile. Should I allow for a question? Let me go on, please. What verse you stop? 16 or 17? Okay. Take, for example, those who are false, divisive or divisive, mischievous. Where you find in the church, brother or sister, they are just troublemakers. They create divisiveness, the mischievousness. The Bible encourage the church to, one, watch here, identify them, and 2, avoid them. That's right. You see, I'm speaking from the background, again, where people give the idea that you must just go on and on because of love. No, but all the instruction the Bible gives on this passage I'll be sharing with you, it takes for granted that we would love and care for the person. We must not engage in hate and bitterness or engage in anything motivated by hate, bitterness, and all of that. We must engage in whatever we engage in out of love and concern. But those who are false, divisive, are mischievous, the Bible tells us to mark them and avoid them. Look at the book of Romans, chapter 16 and verse 17. Read aloud.
I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way.
You notice? This is Paul writing to the church at Rome. He's writing to Christians. And he's telling Christian to what?
I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out.
Watch out. You understand? If you and I are a part of any congregation where we see that there are brothers or sisters who tend toward mischievousness, party spirit, divisiveness, and all of that, and the person or person known. Hear the Bible, start again, Vivian.
I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Keep away from them.
Keep away from them. No, brother such and such. You must be as chummy with the person. That's, you know, God's Christ said you must love. Yes. And don't ever minimize the power of love. And don't ever diminish the demand on us that we should love and care for one another. But don't let a person use love to overthrow biblical principle. Because what the Bible teaches about love, this that the brother is reading in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, is not overthrowing that. It's not eradicating or diminishing the love that we are to have for one another. What the Bible here is doing is step that will help that person to come to him or herself. So what it says there?
Keep away from them.
Keep away from them. The King James says, mark them and avoid them. Avoid them? Yes! If you recognize that that person is just filled with mischief, divisiveness, and quarrelsomeness, and all of that, the Bible says, mark them, that is, identify them, and avoid them. Don't ever think that this is contradicting what the Bible teaches about love. It does not. Any question? Let me go on. Brother Paul. And good descriptions. Brother Peart says the avoid is what he would term safe, S-A-F-E, safe space. where you don't put yourself in the position for that person to do the wrong to you that they did a year ago or 6 months ago. That's why they avoid. So in fact, it is safe things. That's right. What my concern is, we're sometimes we church leaders, in trying to make peace, we act like we are more knowledgeable than Jesus Christ. You see, here the Bible is telling that there are some people, and the passage was dealing with people who claim to be members of the church. The Bible says, avoid them, mark them, that is, identify them, and be on your guard against them and avoid them. Yes. Mm-hmm. Say that again. That's true. Yeah. That's true, Paul. That's very important. A point that Brother Grant made this morning to the things that we use throughout denomination, not realizing that while it speaks to them, it speaks to us too. And that point is very important, Brother Pierce, that we will use passages like this one in reference to denomination, not realizing that it is speaking to us too. You see, mark them and avoid them. Paul was speaking to members of the church right there in Rome. That's right. And as I've said, the business where sometimes we use love to even encourage in discipline. We have to be careful of that. Coming, Derek, go on. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Since you take us way back, dear brother, but it's important, brother. And the more you read the Bible, it's the more you love the Bible and respect it. Because where you can solve the problem with just the two of you, it's always wiser. Where you involve a third or a fourth person, if that is avoidable, then don't bring that in. That is, where there is some issue, some problem, some conflict, it's best to see if the two of you can deal with it. That's better. Because once you involve a third person and that fourth person, before long, the whole Jamaica. Oh my God. Truly. And it shows the wisdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You take it, the two of you, yes, and you try and try, you didn't solve it. Then you bring in two or three other members, and that didn't do it. Then you bring in the church, and remember, the church here doesn't mean you come and you go on the pulpit and say, I need all the members to meet with me. Me and Sister Yvette having some problem. No. Nuh-uh. No, sir. And if you go to the passage of 1 Corinthians, we won't go there now because I have a few more things to say, is where Paul asked the Corinthians if they can't find two or three among themselves you know, with the necessary wisdom and common sense. Yes, Derek. Spiritual.
I mean, it's not everybody.
Not everybody. That's right. That's true. That's true. That's true.
Even in the disciplinary action that might be taken against the person, it is an act of love.
That's right.
Person
back. That's right. It's just like when your adopted country is referring to when you teach on homosexuality, they call it, it's a hate speech. Yes, my God, the church has been for some 2,000 years dealing with sexual immorality. And it's just now, since homosexuals come into the picture, that we hear that it is hate crime. So we have to be careful how we permit society and societal law to dictate how the gospel is understood. Yes, very important. And okay, Brother Pierre, okay, yes, let's go on. So we have dealt with Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Another case. And that is Paul again in the same Romans. What I find striking, well, read the passage. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans 12, verse 18.
If possible, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
You know what I'm asking? Why, if possible, is placed there? Because sometimes, if you're not careful, we deal with issue as if to imply, this is what Christ wants you to do, man. And people never give any allowance and consideration that, yes, that's what you want, but a lot of time you're dealing with a person that it's not possible. So this is why the Holy Spirit, through Paul, read again, brother.
If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Where it is dependent on you, put out all the necessary effort to live at peace with all those that may come your way or you go their way. But the Holy Spirit in Paul knew that that is not possible with all people. There are some men and women, they are so contrary that try as you may, you can never achieve peace with them. So thank God that Paul said, if it is possible. Again, I said the Bible is a practical book. It deals with issue in a balanced way. If you get trying to get my attention and my head is down or looking in other direction, call my name. You know, this is a passage. Paul took a principled stand in the book of Acts of the Apostles, well known, but I just wanted to show you something here. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, 15, verse 36 through 39. And I'm going to show you, you know, what sometimes people would encourage you to do. Let us hear the passage, Acts 15 from verse 36 to verse 39. Read aloud.
And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word.
Read on.
Where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.
Mm-hmm.
And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul thought not good to take him with them.
Mm-hmm.
Who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other.
Watch here. These are two church leaders, Paul and Barnabas. Paul took a principal stand. There's a previous journey that they were going on, and it seems if John Mark felt it's a little dangerous and decided he's not going to go. One would get the idea that it seems as if Paul wanted that company. There are a lot of things, places I'm going and have over past many years in Jamaica where I would mind having one or two brothers to go with me. And this was a situation, but John Mark said, Minago. But then Paul was going on another missionary journey, and you see, John Mark was interested in that one. And his uncle was going also. You know, over the umpteen years, I always remind you all of watch for friendship ties and blood ties. It's wonderful when we have a whole heap of family in the church. That's true. When you convert your brother and his wife and they convert their children and you know, that's wonderful. But make sure you're able to sift the wheat from the tares when situation comes. Make sure you can be impartial. Please. Because blood tie and friendship tie sometimes can be used to undermine the principle of the gospel. So Paul, and the passage said, Paul thought it was not wise to carry with him this chicken heart. His uncle, John Mark's uncle, determined that I want to carry my nephew with me. Paul says, no way. And the discussion between these two church leaders became so rigid that they part company. Of course, one of the blessed things, years after, Paul was carrying John Mark with him. But do you know what? There's no doubt that probably John Mark had seen that he had done wrong and done wrong in letting Paul down in this journey Paul was taking and needed his company. But do you know what? There are so many in the church would say, but Brother Webb, Brother Grant, don't the Bible teach us to love one another? That's exactly people. People just throw love around and don't understand what it means. I repeat, agape love is a rational, intelligent love. It's not that something you just feel so. Because I ask the question, was Paul loving in the stand that he took here? Yes, Paul was loving. But Brother Mitchell, shouldn't he forgive his brother? Loving does not mean you will pile up the person. That is, loving the person doesn't mean you will contribute to the person's indiscipline. Please. Please. Brother Peary. Very. That's true, brother. That happens so many times in so many places in the large church all over the world. And I encourage brothers and sisters, I beg. That see to it that when men and women are converted to Christ, before they are placed in responsible position, make sure that they gradually climb the ladder. That is, that gradually they show faithfulness in studying God's word, in being in worship, in being in Bible study, so that they may gain knowledge, and that they may grow spiritually, because that brother or sister is the prime minister and become a member, and in 6 months' time, that's the person you have holding position in the church where the person's knowledge base is not there. My God, you are endangering the whole congregation. Please. Please. When Paul talked about deacons, he said, let these also first be proven. Don't just take people and put them in position, not in God's business. When brothers and sisters grow to where they manifest that they have spent time studying God's word and growing into Christ-likeness, then the church is safe in their hands. When we put people who are not there, wait. The person might be a nice person, kind, etc., etc. But if the person is a babe in Christ, the Bible gives instruction, and you know what? If the instruction is in the Bible, it is from God. Follow it, you don't go wrong. So the business where some people quick. When you find in situations like this, people throw love in the picture, they don't understand what love means. Truly. Just one or two more quick passage, you know. Look at 1 Timothy chapter, well, let me skip that one. In fact, let me go to about 3, 4, or 5 more passages. I'm sort of just trying to figure out which of these passages to. Let's run to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. Read aloud.
But shun profane and vain babblings.
Start again.
But shun profane and vain babblings.
That is members who, they just talk. They just talk. He's telling the young preacher Timothy to shun them. Read on.
For they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Mm-hmm.
And their word will eat as that a canker.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you give these people the opportunity, their words will be like cancer. Read on.
Of whom is Emmaus and Philetus?
He named them. That's right. He named these two brothers.
Who concerning the truth have heard.
Mm-hmm. They are backslidden. They have strayed from the truth.
Saying that the resurrection is past already.
Somebody would say, well, you know, there's no big thing about that if they not believe in the resurrection. For Paul, this was a big thing. For Christianity, that is a big thing. Talk about the resurrection. You see, because I want to finish, I'm tempted to make more comment. Read, brother.
And overthrow the faith of some.
That's right. So you allow certain falsehood feeling, well, it doesn't make much difference. They are not telling you to go and kill and thief and murder. Well, some falsehood do much more harm than that. You see. That's, you read verse 18 already?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Just one more passage, and the lesson will be yours. Third John, this will be the last passage. I let me point this out. I wanted to share with you a passage in 1 Timothy where Paul delivered particular unfaithful, contrary, or backsliding member to Satan. Deliver them to Satan. But we will let that stay. Let us hear the last passage, 3 John chapter 1. It has only one chapter, verse 9 to verse 11.
I wrote unto the church. But Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them.
John said, I wrote unto the church, and he said, I write about Diotrephes. That's a member of the church, you know, who loved to have the preeminence.
Who loveth to have the preeminence among them. Receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth.
You know what I find striking here? Shouldn't this great apostle John forget whatever evil Diotrephes did? Because Diotrephes is saying, when I come back in that area, I won't forget what he has done. What I'm showing, where in the eyes of the apostle, John was no puny apostle. Here is a man who wrote St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Revelation. So he was up there on the ladder of spirituality. And he's telling the church that when he comes back into their area at that congregation, he will not forget the evil that this contrary brother has done him. If we remember wrong done to us to carry out revenge, then that is unchristlike. Are you all there? I'm closing, but because some more comment that I would want to make, let it stay another time. But I repeat, if John is remembering the evil done to him to be revengeful, then that is not permitted by the gospel. Now, if John is planning to take disciplinary step, healthy disciplinary step, that's different. But John would know the difference between disciplinary step and revengeful. John would know that. The fact is, the business where we throw forgiveness and love always, we must remember to forgive, remember to love, but let us make sure we are applying those principles to the right situation. No more questions for the night. Thank you.